Praise the Lord. We have heard truly glorious words, and we are not here to warm the chairs on which we sit. We are here to be soaked thoroughly through by the speaking of God, as we are told in Luke 24. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? Not when someone else, when he spoke to us. And I believe that he has not stopped speaking yet. On the contrary, he is still speaking to you and to me today, through his word and through his Holy Spirit, and our hearts begin to burn. I must confess, from the first to the last brother who spoke here briefly, something is always going on in my heart. It is so wonderful to hear that the love of God exists not only in words, but in deed, that it has been poured out into our hearts, that the Lord has given light at evening time, that he has enlightened, that he speaks to us. And whoever hears him will no longer pay attention to the talk of men. Whoever has once understood how precious, how beneficial, how loving the Lord's speaking is, how much grace and everything we need is in the Lord's speaking, he will renounce all the talk of men, which is so destructive and tearing down and burdening. But that which the Lord does, that is well done. I had to think, as Brother Kupfer spoke briefly, of the crucifixion of our Lord. There was a huge crowd. The scribes, the Pharisees, even the disciples, no one knew anymore what was going on and what it all meant. It was a crowd, and it went all the way to the hill of Golgotha. But there was one who was crucified there with him. He had understood what was happening. He was not bothered by what others were saying. Some cried out, "Give us Barabbas." The shouting was among the people. Opinions went back and forth, but there was one whom no one needed to preach to. God had touched his heart, and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He didn't look at the hustle and bustle, not at the clamor of the people. He looked to the Lord, called on him, and got the answer. The Lord says, "Before they call, I will answer." He promised to bless and give us what we ask. Others passed by. They shook their heads. That's how one tells it in his gospel. The others said, "He helped others. Why doesn't he help himself?" There was a lot of hustle and bustle and talk. But one among many understood what was happening there. Here the Lamb of God dies for the sins of the world. And he called on the Lord and got the answer. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, this very day shalt thou be with me in paradise. He had no more opportunity to serve the Lord. You have it, and I have it. We have been given years of grace to serve the Lord. How many have been saved in the last hour and have not been able to give their lives to the Lord, but have simply passed on into glory? We are still here, not to live for ourselves, but to live for the one who died for us, to serve him who came and said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. He washed the feet of his disciples. He made himself of no reputation and humbled himself, really, to the end, until it went no deeper and no further. And when all that was over, he was exalted and sits at the right hand of the Majesty of God, waiting until all enemies are made his footstool. And we know there is no enemy that has not already been defeated at Calvary. And when the time will have come, even the last enemy, that is death, will have to give up the ghost, so to speak, and face the Word of God. And then death will be no more, and we will live in the presence of the Lord for all eternity. Here, in the word from Corinthians, we have all read along. I want to start just before 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We have not received the Spirit of God to make great speeches about it, but to know the whole plan of salvation, the redemption, all that has been given to us by God. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Then it goes on to say, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. One of the brothers has said it here, that just as the prophets were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so those who preach the word must be under the same inspiration of the Spirit of God, in order that the letter may be alive and that God may speak to us. Not just that we say, huh, brother so-and-so and some others have spoken. We must simply be able to say, the Lord has spoken to us. No one comes here to present their own program. We come here to hear from God to let him speak. But that is so very important when it is said here, and of that we also speak, of that which has been given to us by God, by grace, and has been revealed through the Spirit. And of this we also speak, not with words, as human wisdom teaches. Yes, there is a human wisdom, and it still has a lot of pride in it. But it has no place in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, it must be a spirit-inspired wisdom that takes the spirit-inspired word, makes it alive, and reveals and leads us into it. You all know that Saul of Tarsus had absorbed human wisdom about God's word long enough, and suddenly a new phase came into his life through the revelation of Jesus Christ. From that day on, he no longer spoke according to human wisdom about God's word, but now he saw things from God's point of view. How do you see the divine things? The things of God must be seen through the Spirit. Otherwise, you don't see them at all, or you see them wrongly. Human things can be judged and seen with human eyes and human thoughts. But the things of God must be revealed by the Holy Spirit and shown from God. Here we are further told, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual content with spiritual. Here is the content. This Bible contains the Spirit-worked content of the Word of God. Now, when the Spirit is added, and that Word is made alive, then there is a connection there between Old and New Testament, a connection between God and those to whom he speaks. Then there is revelation of the Spirit. Then there is enlightenment, and we can see things. What did Simeon do in the temple? He connected spirit-worked content with spirit-worked language. It had been revealed to him that he would not die sooner until he saw Christ, the Messiah. That was the promise of the Word. And when he saw the promise fulfilled with his own eyes, the Spirit of God came upon him. Here, Spirit-worked content and Spirit-inspired language were combined and made known. And then he could say, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation of God. How did he see it? By being revealed to him by God through the Spirit. The priest who performed circumcision according to the law had no idea at all. Neither did the people who were in the temple. But there was an old woman, and suddenly her voice is also heard. And she too had something to report. She didn't preach a sermon, but she spoke of what was fulfilled there, and all the people had to hear it. Spirit-inspired content must be connected with spirit-inspired language. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This is also a very precious sentence to the man who is not enlightened by the Spirit. Divine things are foolishness to him. He can't do anything with it. Wherever he goes and what he starts, somehow he gets stuck right away. But when things are revealed to us by God, as I have said it somewhere, for example, as long as Brother Branham was carrying out his ministry in an evangelistic way, hundreds of doors were open. Invitations were coming in from all over the world. But the moment he started to base his ministry on the Bible and said, here is fulfilled what was said in the prophet Malachi. The moment he began to combine spirit-worked content with spirit-worked language and reveal it to the people of God, in that moment the spirits were separated. And I have to say quite honestly, many have made the statement, not only to me, they have written about it and said, since the time when Brother Branham started to speak a clear language and say to the people that he is a God-sent prophet, from that time on, they couldn't go along with it anymore. That's what they wrote, and that's what they said. And I just said the opposite. Where they stopped and could not go on, God started with us to go on with us. What good is a ministry if it is not a biblical ministry? And if it is a biblical ministry, then it is based on the Bible. And then a man of God in our time can say the same thing as John said at that time. He combined spirit-worked content with spirit-worked language. It was not his wisdom, but the wisdom of God. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, it says from verse 19, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elijah? And he says, I am not. After all, he knew that Elijah would come right before the great and terrible day of the Lord. It was not then that the day of the Lord was dawning, but the day of grace and salvation. He was a prophet. He combined spirit-worked content with spirit-worked language and says, "No, I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." You all know, Moses had said, "A prophet like unto me, God will raise up from among your brethren." And it is referred to in the beginning of the book of Acts. And we know it was the reference to Christ. That's why John said, "No, I am not." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou?" That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." What was it? John placed his ministry biblically. The people wanted to know. They had asked him three questions. But those three questions did not apply to him. The word that really applied to him, they did not see that. And they did not ask about that. But John gave them the answer. He based his ministry on a biblical foundation. Exactly the same thing happened in our time. Evangelists are in great number. Orators and men who do all kinds of things, even the most impossible things. But there is the promise in the Word of God that before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, He would send a prophet. The moment Brother Branham came out openly with a scripture, the multitudes withdrew. And they no longer followed the Lord. Read the story of Jesus when he suddenly spoke in the Gospel of John in chapter 10 and said, "I and the Father are one." When he said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me." And many no longer followed him, but they left him. What was it? They had not yet understood what it was all about. Thanks be to our God, who has a remnant with whom he will walk the path to the end, until we come from believing unto seeing. Not because of our wisdom or knowledge, but because of what He has given us by grace. Here, in the Gospel of John 7, and with this I will come to a close. Maybe Brother Rus has kindly given priority to all the brothers, but he is not to miss out either. Here, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 7, we read in the second part of verse 37, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Here we are told by our Savior what would happen when the Holy Spirit was poured out. There were to be rivers of living water. There should be a spring bubbling into eternal life. And we would like to receive a baptism in the Spirit as it was promised, and as our brothers and sisters received in the beginning, when Peter was taken to task about what had happened in the house of Cornelius, he simply said, "How could I deny water to those who received the Spirit just as we did in the beginning?" That was his justification. He also combined Spirit-worked content with Spirit-worked language. He did not let his arguments speak, but he let the Scriptures speak. He saw the same result here in Cornelius' house, the same concomitants. He saw the rivers flowing. How could he but say that these people should be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus? For they had already been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Today, many things are called baptism in the Spirit. Peter could say at that time, "How can I deny them water when they have received the Spirit just as we did in the beginning?" Do you want to read it? You all know it by heart. You only have to read the book of Acts in chapter 10. And then you will find the confirmation exactly reproduced. And then also further in chapter 11, when he gave his justification there. Maybe I should just read it. It should be in Acts chapter 11, verse 14. "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved?" And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Brothers and sisters, this is the baptism of the Spirit that I and you need, a baptism of the Spirit, like the one in the beginning. And if I don't get it today, I don't want to fool myself. Then I will gladly wait until I get it. There is only one baptism of the Spirit. It will produce the same concomitants, the same results, the same outcome, the same spiritual gifts, and the same spiritual fruits as the baptism of the Spirit in the beginning. That is why Paul could say, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body and became members of one body. Today, among the so-called baptized in the Spirit, there are all kinds of different directions, and one has nothing to do with the other. Hatred and envy and discord is in the hearts. That is not the Spirit of God. That is not the nature of Jesus Christ. That is not the mind we heard about this weekend. No, that looks more like self-deception than an experience with God. A person who has had an experience with God and has been filled with the Holy Spirit, just like our brothers and sisters in the beginning, it has to be like that in the end to have the same results, the same love, the same signs and wonders, the intimate connection with God and with one another. It must become in the end as it was in the beginning. And that happened when all consecrated their lives to God, accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it says so wonderfully, they spoke of the great deeds that the Lord had done. People through whom God speaks, that's where we hear the divine things. People through whom someone else speaks, there we hear everything else than what could serve to the glory of God or to edify the church. And you know, outwardly, everyone can do as he pleases, but still the scripture remains true, and it is written, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You can say 100 times, oh, I am filled with the love of God. Yes, wait a minute. What is there to hear? Is that spoken from the love of God? It is not the words we make, but what is actually there that will be put on the divine scale. May it not be said of any of us, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. May we, by the grace of God, put the full weight of God on the scales to be filled with Holy Spirit, just as it happened in the beginning. Jesus Christ is both the beginning and the end, the first and the last, Alpha and Omega. So, we, as God's children, can count on exactly the same experience in this time as our brothers and sisters counted on in the beginning. And they received what God promised them. As the hymn writer sings, God's promises remain. They never waver. Jesus sealed with his own blood what he promised in the Word. May today Spirit-worked content of the Word of God have been joined with Spirit-worked language. And may we have understood the Lord's speaking. the natural man, that's how we heard it, has not known the things of the Spirit. But he who is born of God will know the things of the Spirit. May the blessing of God rest on all of us. May these meetings also have contributed to our coming closer to the Lord. And may we also have become more intimately united with each other in the divine love by His grace. God bless us all. Amen.